Good to see each of you here this morning. We are appreciative for those who have led us in our worship service this morning. Brother Zali, who has led us in our singing. Brother Proud, who has read our scripture lesson. And Brother Waller, who has led us in our prayer. I want to express my appreciation to all of you who prayed for me that I'd have a safe trip to Mississippi and back. I left on Friday and came back yesterday evening about 6:15. I found my dad doing fairly well. He's about the same. I got a chance to spend some meaningful time with him. I solicit your continued prayers on his behalf. He lives in West Point, Mississippi, which is roughly about 300 miles from here. But thank you so much for asking about him, and thank you for praying for him and praying for me as well. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the scripture lesson that was read. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5. In the book of Mark, chapter 5, Jesus performs three notable miracles. The first miracle he performs on a man who is possessed by a plethora of demons. We could refer to that miracle as Jesus releases a demon-possessed man. The second miracle in Mark that he performs is on a sick lady. Jesus restores a diseased woman. That was the woman with the issue of blood. The third miracle that Jesus performs is the raising of Jairus' daughter from the dead. Jesus resurrects a dead girl. So the first one, Jesus releases a demon-possessed man. The second one, Jesus restores a diseased woman. And the third one, Jesus resurrects a dead girl. We're going to focus our attention this morning on the miracle in the middle. The miracle in the middle. And we're going to use as the specific title of our lesson, Hope and Help for a helpless woman. Hope and help for a helpless woman. Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 34. But before we read that particular passage, let's read a few scriptures or a few verses before that. Verse number 21. And when Jesus was passing, or when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. Verse 22, and behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. So I want you to understand that when Jesus encounters the helpless woman with the issue of blood, he was on his way to the house of Jairus, whose little daughter was at the very point of death, and he greatly besought him, pleaded with Jesus to come to her and to lay his hands on her that she might be healed. And Jesus, being compassionate as he was, decided to go with Jairus to his house to heal his daughter, who was at the very point of death. On their way, a great crowd, a great multitude thronged him. So that was a huge crowd of folk following Jesus as he walked along with Jairus on the way to the house of Jairus. And the Bible says, as they were en route, a certain woman, in verse 25, which had an issue of blood, 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press or the crowd behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Matthew records it in Matthew 9, 20 through 22, on this wise, and behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind him and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole. So further, going back to Mark chapter 5, and straightway, verse 29, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, that his spiritual power, turned him about in the press, in the crowd, and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. As we talk about this woman, I want to just mention the attitude and the spirit exhibited by Jairus. He has come to Jesus, besought Jesus to come to his little daughter who was at the point of death. Jesus is en route to Jairus' house when he is intercepted by the woman with the issue of blood. So he has to put Jairus and his daughter on hold temporarily. They're going to be delayed because of this woman with a serious problem. This was a woman with that issue of blood. Now, her disease was a personal disease. It had to do with her menstrual cycle. When you get an opportunity, go to Leviticus chapter 15 and begin reading with verse number 25 and following. In reality, according to the ceremonial law, she was supposed to be at home, out of circulation. She was not to be out in the public. She was in a state ceremonially of being unclean. And if she sat on a chair, on a bed, that was considered to be unclean. According to the law, she was not to be out and about and amongst people. But we have to understand her situation. Her disease was personal. Her disease was private. Her disease was progressive. Her disease was persistent. Her disease was pernicious. She had had this disease for 12 long years. I was on the way back from West Point yesterday. I stopped, passed by the Metubba Street Church of Christ, and I went down to the house of Henry Randall. Henry Randall preached at the Metubba Street Church for a number of years until he had a stroke. And that stroke rendered him incapable of speaking. He's unable to talk. He can laugh, but he cannot talk. He can eat, but he cannot talk. He can communicate, but he cannot talk. And he said, how does he communicate? Well, he communicates with a spell board. And he has to spell out individually the words that he wants to communicate. And if you're to communicate with him, you have to really watch him real closely because he uses his thumb and he just points to the letters. You know, GODTOSEEYOU. Good to see you. And you can tell him, you know, there's nothing wrong with his hearing, he just can't talk. Can't talk. Delightful person. And I was asking his wife, Mary, I said, Mary, how long has it been since Henry had this incapacitating stroke that has rendered him incapable of speaking? And she said, let's see. And Henry took his spell board. He has numbers at the bottom of the board, and he hit the 2 and the 0. 20 years. 20 long years. And of course, he's unable to walk unassisted. As a matter of fact, he has one of those special motorized chairs. But I said, Mary, you've been looking after Henry for 20 years. She said, yes, I have. And she said, Brother Jones, he's in better shape than I am. She said, all he does is sit. I'm out there working. But they've been looking out after him for 20 years, and it has not diminished his faith or dulled his zest and enthusiasm for life. It encourages me just to be around him. And I was praying and trusting, and a lot of folk have been praying down through the years that maybe Henry one day would start to speak again. But 20 years, almost 21 years, his voice has been silenced. That's a long time. But this woman with this issue of blood, she'd been sick for a long time. You see, we focus on her disease and then the duration of her disease, 12 years. You know, all of us who are able to walk around and have the right exercise of our limbs and our bodies, and we're able to talk and we're able to shake hands with folk and we're able to hug folks and we're able to tell folks that we love them. And we can get up and put our clothes on and get ready and come to worship. We have a lot to be thankful for. This woman been sick for 12 years. And this woman in being sick for 12 years, she was desperate. She tried everything within her poor power to find the cure for that dreaded disease. She was desperate. She went to doctor after doctor. They did her no good. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in verse number 26 that she had suffered many things of many physicians. You know, I thought doctors were supposed to help you. You know, you want a doctor who's going to help you do better, help you get well. But I guess she was subjected to a lot of experimental notions and supposed treatments. Ever what she was subjected to, it does say that she suffered many things. Not just of one doctor, not just of a few doctors, but she suffered many things of many physicians. You know, folks will go a long way to try to get their health healed, to try to be made whole. People will visit John Hopkins. People will go to Duke University Medical Center like the late Edward Kennedy did. People will travel even across the border going into Mexico trying to find a cure for some disease like Coretta Scott King did. People will visit MD Anderson. People will go to the Menninger Clinic. People will travel to the Mayo Clinic. People will go wherever they can in order to secure a cure for whatever their disease is. My brother went down to MD Anderson for a second opinion. And he told me that the lady who takes your money and processes your payment, that she was telling him, so Mr. Jones, unless folk have insurance or money, they don't come here. She said it's nothing for men to come to the MD Anderson Center and plop down a credit card for $100,000 because they want to be made whole. She told him about a man who, on four separate occasions, each time he put down $50,000 in cash to pay for his treatments. He was serious about being made whole. $200,000. Of course, he happened to have had the money. That's what desperation will do for you. This woman suffered many things of many physicians. And the Bible says, had spent all that she had. She had spent all that she had. She didn't have nothing left. She experienced the depletion of her cash. She ran out of money. And then the bad thing is, after suffering many things of many physicians and after having spent all she had, the Bible says lamentably, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. She experienced the depletion of her cash and the deterioration of her condition. She got worse rather than better. Somehow, she gained knowledge of Jesus. Somebody had undoubtedly told her that Jesus could make her whole. Somebody undoubtedly had communicated with her that Jesus was a man who could make her whole. And that if she could just touch the H-E-M on the H-I-M, she would be made whole. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, she felt that she could be made whole. She demonstrated her determination to get some kind of relief. She heard that Jesus was coming that way apparently and was going to be in the vicinity. Although she was ceremonially unclean and although she had to have been weak. And not only were her financial resources depleted, but I believe her physical strength was also depleted, and that it was a struggle for her to make her way along, especially in the midst of the crowd, in order to get to Jesus. So the Bible says in verse 27, when she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press, that is, in the thronging crowd behind, and she got close enough to Jesus to touch his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. Now, Jesus, when he was touched, when his clothes was touched, the Bible says instantaneously she was made whole. It says in verse 29, and straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague after 12 long years. After 144 months, finally, she was healed. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue or spiritual power had gone out of him, turned about in the press, in the crowd, and said, who touched my clothes? His disciples said unto him, you see the multitude thronging you. You see the crowd pushing and jostling back and forth, thronging you, and you asking, who touched your clothes? What they were saying, with all these folk around here, could have been anybody touching you. People are jostling back and forth and bumping into each other. But Jesus knew that that was a special touch. That was no accidental or incidental touch. That was a touch that was predetermined, a touch that was deliberate, a touch that was delicate. That was a touch on purpose, and Jesus knew it. Her determination enabled her, even surreptitiously, to get close enough to him so that she could find deliverance. She had to operate incognito, that is, without her identity being revealed. She had to be very careful and very cautious, kind of undercover, because she did not want her identity revealed. She was ashamed. This was a personal problem, a private problem. But she still felt that if I could just get to Jesus and just touch the hem of his garment, I'd be made whole. She was delivered. But Jesus detected her touch. In verse 32, he looked round about him to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. She knew that she was discovered. She knew that she was detected. And so she did a full disclosure. She just went ahead and told Jesus all the truth. And it's good to tell all the truth. You know, that's somebody needs to know all the truth about you. You be careful who you tell all the truth to. You don't just tell anybody your business. But now you ought to be able to tell Gerald the truth. Yeah, you ought to be able to tell the elders the truth, William the truth. There are some folks you need to be able to tell the truth. But in order to tell folks the truth and to be comfortable telling folks the truth, you have to have confidence in them. But a lot of times we could be helped if we just let somebody know what's happening with us. Sometimes we're embarrassed, sometimes we're ashamed, sometimes we're afraid, we're fearful. A lot of times people will lock up what's inside of them. They won't tell nobody anything. Just keep it all to themselves. Won't breathe a word to the wife, won't breathe a word to the husband, won't breathe a word to a brother or sister, won't breathe a word to a mother or father. They're just too scared because they're scared they'll be rejected. They're scared they'll be reported. They're scared they'll be rebuked. And they won't say anything. And a lot of times with good reasons. There's some folks like an old refrigerator. Can't keep nothing. So you have to be careful who you talk to, but that needs to be somebody. And if there's nobody clothed in flesh and blood that you feel like you can confide in, fall down on your knees and go to your heavenly Father. Take it to the Lord in prayer. Jesus knows and Jesus cares. Jesus can help and Jesus can heal. Jesus can make you whole. Jesus said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Now you say, Brother Jones, how can this help me? What can this do for me? This woman had an issue of blood. I don't have no issue of blood. Well, you might not have an issue of blood, but you do have some issues. Yeah, you got some issues now. Everybody has some issues. Don't care who you are. But I've been in the church 20 years. You still got some issues. Paul had some issues. Peter had some issues. All of us have some issues. See, an issue, of course, now the issue this woman had was a flowing out. It was a flowing of blood. It had to do with the menstrual cycle. But issue is also defined as a point of interest that needs to be resolved. It's defined as a problem. It's defined as a particular concern. It's defined as a challenge that we are dealing with and facing. I don't know what your issue is, but I do know that the Lord is able to cure you of whatever issue you have. The Lord can help you with whatever issue you have. Because, Brother Jones, I have some domestic issues. I have some issues in my marriage. I have a communication issue. Whatever your issue is, the Lord can cure you. Somebody said, Brother Jones, I have an issue with drinking. I've been struggling with it for a long time. The Lord can help you with that issue. Somebody said, Brother Jones, I'm addicted to internet pornography. And it's got a hold of me. What can I do? How can I extricate myself from its tenacious grip? What can I do? Well, Jesus has the capability of making you whole. Brother Jones, I'm an incorrigible gossip. I just can't keep my mouth closed. Can Jesus help me with my issue? Brother Jones, I just can't stop lying and practicing deception. That's just an issue I have. Can the Lord help me with that issue? Of course he can help you with that issue. Just as certainly and just as surely as he helped this poor woman, who had been suffering from her issue of blood for 12 long years. She was a helpless woman. She couldn't do anything for herself. The doctors couldn't do anything for her. But rather than despair, rather than throw in the towel, rather than raise her arms in surrender, she decided that this Jesus that I've heard about, that I've been told he can do some marvelous things, he can do some miraculous things, I'm going to find my way to him. I believe if I can get close enough to him, if I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. He's still in the healing business. Whatever your issue might be, he can make you whole. If you're here today and you're not a child of God, you're still standing a guilty distance from the Lord, separated from him by virtue of your sins. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin-sick soul. He stands ready to do it. You see, this woman was helpless, so are we, to save ourselves. You can't save yourself. While we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He made our salvation possible by dying on the cross of Calvary for your sins and for mine. Died in your place, died in my place. By his stripes, we are but in order to appropriate his healing and his making whole power, we have to comply with the stipulated conditions that are given in his word. He died for you. They buried him, but he got up on the third day, saying, "All power is in my hands." That's good news. Believe it with all of your heart. Repent of your sins. Turn your back on the things you know to be wrong. Turn to the Lord with a commitment to live for him who died for you. Confess your faith in him as the Son of God and submit to baptism in water for the remission of your sins. And the Lord will make you perfectly whole. As a matter of fact, he'll make you completely new. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Why not become new today? Why not be made whole today? Whatever it is that is troubling you, whatever it is that is bothering you, whatever it is that is disturbing you, whatever it is that's robbing you of peace, whatever it is that is holding you down and holding you back, the Lord can help you with it. You're here and you're already a child of God, but you've fallen by the wayside. Why not come back and be restored, rededicate your life to the Lord? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Whoso covereth his sin shall not prosper, but he that confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Will you come? Even now, as we together stand and sing.
I've wandered far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The path of sin to Lord, I've tried, Lord.
Why not come home today? Never more to roam. Why not obey the Lord today? While the blood runs warm in your veins.